Konnichiwa, Marhaba. Welcome to Questions from a City Kid. I'm your host, Hugo Reniker, and I'm here with my mom. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, everyone.
Our question today is, drumroll please. Can wild animals live in cities?
What do you think? Can they?
Yeah. I've seen squirrels and bunnies here, and they're wild animals.
That's right. They are. I wonder where they live, like where their home is or where they sleep at night.
Remember one day you did see a family of bunnies under the neighbor's woodpile?
That's right. I did. I also wonder if it's okay for wild animals to live here. What I mean is, do they have everything they need for a good life in the city, or would it be better for them to live in wide open spaces?
These are good questions. Do you know someone who knows the answers to these questions?
Actually, I do. Hi, Liza.
Hello. My name is Liza Lair. I'm the Assistant Director of the Urban Wildlife Institute, and my science center focuses on how animals live in cities and how we can make cities more wildlife friendly for humans and wildlife to coexist.
Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited.
Our first question is, what do you do on a regular day at the Wildlife Institute?
Things are a little bit different now than they were pre-COVID, but what I really like about this job is that every day is different. I have a lot of different things that I'm working on, different research projects. So in the summer, we have a lot of research projects that are going on because that's when a lot of our wildlife are really active. One of the projects that I lead is related to bats. And bats are mainly active in the summer in Chicago. So I'm out at like forest reserves or at parks or golf courses or other green spaces in the city that make up wildlife habitat. And I'm mostly putting out a lot of different equipment in order to collect observations about those animals. So the kind of equipment that we use are things like trail cameras, where we take pictures of anything that walks in front of it. And then we also have a lot of acoustic monitors where we're recording calls of bats as they're echoing around at these various sites. And then we also are now recording bird calls as well. That's just a few of our projects. We have a number of different projects that my various colleagues are working on. So I'm in the field a lot. And then during the times where I'm at the office, I'm either analyzing data, talking to my colleagues about some of the projects that we have going on. I work some with our learning department. I'm involved in some city level committees, so it's a lot of variety. And then whenever I get tired of being in the office, I'm out in the field all the time, and then I get really hot or too cold, and then I'm ready to be back in the office sipping tea. So it's a lot of, you know, good variety and keeps me on my toes.
So our main question is, do wild animals live in cities? I think they do, because I've seen some, like rabbits and skunks and squirrels. But I wanted to ask you to know for sure, do they?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it sounds like you've observed some animals already living in cities. And I bet as you kind of look around more, you're going to start to see even more animals living in the city. So yes, we have a lot of diversity of animals. So that means lots of different species living in Chicago and many living actually in the city itself. I think that's the biggest sort of surprise that people have when they learn about the research that we do, is that there's so many more animals than you realize. So coyotes are definitely living in the city all around us and going unnoticed most of the time. I live in the north side of the city, and a neighbor of mine just a few doors down from me told me that they saw a coyote two nights ago under their deck.
Wow.
So we see them all the time. It's just most of the time they're really good at hiding and avoiding us. We have deer, of course, in the city, which sometimes you might see at the forest preserves or some of the cemeteries around. People are often surprised to find out that we have beavers living in the city. We've had mink and muskrats. Flying squirrels is another one that we see a lot. We get lots of people sending in emails about flying squirrels that they've seen eating at their bird feeders. One of my favorites that I was recently excited about was we had actually a woodchuck at the zoo that just popped up on grounds, and we were really surprised. It was the first time we had ever seen a woodchuck at the zoo. A woodchuck is the same thing as a groundhog. So if you've heard of Groundhog Day, it's basically a really big squirrel. It's about the size of a house cat. So we were really excited to see a woodchuck at the zoo. So we've got tons of diversity, and that's just the mammals. Of course, there's a huge amount of bird diversity at the Nature Boardwalk. We've seen over 100 species of birds just at that urban green space. And of course, snakes and frogs and toads, turtles, tons of different insect species and butterflies. So yeah, we have a huge diversity of animals living in the city.
I also like the other bird sanctuary close to the beach.
Oh, Montrose?
Yeah.
And that's what's so wonderful about Chicago is we have just a wealth of beautiful green spaces in the city. We're really fortunate to have that, and that's been a priority in urban planning for a very long time in Chicago. And so we have a lot of opportunities to be able to connect with nature and a lot of really great wildlife habitat already.
Is it okay for the animals to live here, or would they rather live somewhere else with more grass and less people?
You know, that's a really great question. You know, there's a lot of species that really have come to thrive in cities. And for many of them, they do benefit from living in a city. They've come to the point where they have adjusted to living so much in these urban environments that they've actually learned how to take advantage of some of the resources that we provide. So be it, you know, the food that we throw away in our trash cans, or other sort of more natural sources of food that we provide, either like through our vegetable gardens or other, you know, gardens that we plant if they're more herbivores and they take advantage of sort of the vegetation that we plant. You know, the buildings that we live in or that we work in provide structures for animals to live in. And, you know, even things like streetlights can sometimes provide these kind of sources of foraging or eating opportunities for species like bats where there's insects flying around them. So there's a lot of aspects of the city that a lot of wildlife have become really adapted to living around. And so the animals that we do see in the city are ones that have figured out how to be successful here and are able to really take advantage of it. So in that way, I think they could like living in the city and have, you know, really enjoy some aspects of it. But to your point, I think there's a lot of things about living in a city that can be very challenging for animals, and ways that we could make cities more supportive and easier for them to live in. And, you know, that's one of the things that we really like to focus and sort of apply our research to, because we want to think about cities sort of as part of the conservation solution, because we have so many cities and they're only continuing to expand. And we know that cities can provide really valuable habitat for wildlife, and even some species that are threatened or endangered can find refuge here in cities. Considering cities are continuing to expand, there's a place for wildlife here as well.
Where do city animals find homes? Like, where do they sleep?
Of course, it depends a lot on the animals. You know, trees are really important for a lot of different species. A lot of different animals need trees. Either they hang out just in the leaves or on the branches, like birds at night will roost in trees. Bats during the daytime will roost inside trees as well. If you look around, you might find little holes in the trees where it's been kind of carved out or caved out a little bit, or it's decayed. We call those tree cavities, and those are really important for a lot of different animals, which is why, you know, in a lot of cases, we're trying to advocate for people to not cut down or trim trees that are starting to decay like that, because they can provide a lot of really important habitat for different animals.
I know we've seen tree cavities at Humboldt Park.
Yeah, like one was in a tree, and it looked like a squirrel burrow. One day, my mom saw a family of rabbits under our neighbor's wood pile.
And
at my grandma's house, she called us one day, and she had a family of raccoons under her porch. And
oh, wow.
One baby was so scared that he climbed up the wall and didn't know how to get down.
Oh.
That was quite the FaceTime call, wasn't it?
Yeah. That must have been fun to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then some of them just like to be in, you know, shrubs on the ground. Like coyotes will often just kind of rest amongst like shrubs or in like fallen trees that have a nice big opening or a log to hang out in, or like you said, rabbits hanging out under wood piles or something like that. Anything that kind of makes up a little bit of a structure that they can either hide under or kind of hide behind.
What if they can't find enough to eat? Do they run to Popeyes for a chicken sandwich?
Yeah, well, a lot of animals in cities do take advantage of the trash that we have. So there could be some animals that are hanging out behind Popeyes. I think that's a really great observation. I studied urban woodchucks. That's why they're one of my favorites for graduate school. And I had a lot of animals that were hanging out near restaurants. And I think it's possible that they might have been fed, of course. So that's something that happens in cities. Either, you know, people feed animals on purpose, or they just kind of leave out food that's easy for animals to access. And that's something that we really try to discourage with people, because we don't want animals to sort of develop these unnatural behaviors where they're relying on people too much. And we really want for animals to, you know, naturally avoid humans. So, and that's what a lot of our urban animals are doing. They're living all around us all the time, really undetected. And they don't want to be around us at all. They want to avoid us as much as possible. So yeah, we want them to sort of continue to do that for all of us to kind of to coexist well together.
Yeah. Is there anything else we can do other than not feeding them to help take care of these animals?
Yeah, certainly kind of supporting wildlife habitat in whatever way you can. If you have yard space, you can plant some native plants to attract, you know, pollinators and other animals that can benefit from those, some native plants. Even if you have, you know, a balcony or something like that where you can put some native plants, and milkweed even for butterflies is really supportive, and that can even contribute, you know, valuable habitat, just a single milkweed plant. Wherever you can add sort of more green space is really helpful for all different types of wildlife, even, you know, providing habitat for our insects as well.
We planted a garden this year and provided food for squirrels and rabbits.
Oh, very nice.
They like the tomatoes as much as we do.
They also like the seeds from our bird feeder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
We can even see pigeons.
You saw pigeons?
Yeah.
I mean, another thing that you can do is really something that you're doing already is really, you know, getting involved in learning about urban wildlife, participating in various programs, telling your friends about how great animals are and how important it is that we work to conserve them. We have a number of kind of citizen science projects that you can participate in. We have something called ChicagoWildlifeWatch.org. If you've seen that, it's a Zooniverse project where you can actually help to identify the animals in our photos from our camera traps that we have all over the city. That's a great way to learn about the animals that are living here and how to identify them and kind of get familiar with all the different species that are living in Chicago. And sometimes it's just about kind of paying attention when you're going about your daily, you know, routine.
Yeah.
And, you know, having those experiences when living in the city with being able to observe wildlife is just, it's really exciting, and it's fun to be able to connect people to nature in that way.
Do you have any really cool or crazy stories about urban wildlife?
Yeah, so I think like the craziest stories I've had have been, you know, really seeing animals show up in places that we wouldn't necessarily expect them. And what I always like to tell people is that you can never sort of never say never when it comes to wildlife in cities. Like, they have figured out how to get and move to all these different places and to adapt in so many, you know, really interesting ways and do all kinds of cool things. You know, some of the great kind of highlights of like Chicago urban wildlife stories are like the coyotes that den down in Soldier Field. We've seen coyotes that have been able to look both ways when they cross the road, for example, so that they, you know, don't get hit by cars. So they've really adjusted to living around people.
Wow.
You know, as I mentioned, videos of people getting flying squirrels that are eating from their bird feeders that are on their like third story balconies. You know, seeing beavers along the lakefront. We've seen them at the Nature Boardwalk as well. So they're able to, you know, find their way to these green spaces. And that's always what kind of fascinates me, is that their ability to kind of navigate these urban environments and be so like resilient and adaptable.
Wow, that's great. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Oh, of course. If you have one more question, go.
I have one more.
You forgot.
Yeah.
That's okay. Don't worry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's riddle time. I sleep when you're awake. I'm awake when you fall asleep. I can fly but have no feathers to aid my flight. What am I? Do you know the answer? tell us at 702-900-KIDS. And tune in next time to solve the riddle together.
A very big thank you to Liza for teaching us about wild animals living in cities today. Did you get your questions answered today? Or do you have any new questions now?
I did get all my questions answered. I don't know if I have another new question. I'll have to have like a minute or so to think about it.
That's fair. One thing I noticed that she said a couple of words that are words that scientists use a lot. One of them is observation. Another one is research. Another word I noticed was data. And she also talked about animals' ability to adapt. Do you remember hearing those?
Yeah.
Do you know what any of them mean?
I know what observe means.
What?
It means to, if you find something interesting, you don't say, oh, that's neat, and then move on. You look at it closely and then observe, which means look and research things about it that you wonder.
That's right. That's what a scientist does. That's a very important job of a scientist, is observation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's really cool is we can do that starting today. We can leave our house and walk down the sidewalk and observe nature
mm-hmm.
and wildlife right now.
Mm-hmm. My new question is...
Oh, you have one now.
Yes.
You took a minute. Now you thought of
yeah.
one. Okay, go.
How can squirrels, like, jump so high? Like, they're... Is there some, like, a huge muscle in their hind legs that can, like, push them off super, super high like a grasshopper?
Probably so. That's a great question.
Thanks for listening and learning with us. Do you have a question about your city or something else you'd like to know? You can leave us a message. Just call us at 702-900-KIDS. We might feature your question on our show. Don't forget to tell us your name and your city. Our number, again, is 702-900-KIDS.
Questions from a City Kid is a production of the Sidewalk Club. Find more inspiration for urban parents and city kids at sidewalkclub.com. Or, for the grown-ups, follow us on Instagram.
And if you haven't already, please subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode.
Our podcast is hosted by Anchor. Intro music was composed by Piotr123 from freesound.org. Our producer is me, Mandolin Reniker, with help from
Hugo Reniker. Catch you next time. Until then, stay curious.